Good morning. Hello, Stu. How are you?
Wonderful, Glenn, and yourself.
Oh, my gosh. I've got a great show lined up. We're going to talk about Bernie Sanders and communism in the first hour. Second hour, we're going to talk about a new economic theory, which spells collapse. And third hour, let's do heroin.
I mean,
all coming up.
You're really offering?
Today's program.
No.
You'll hear. The Amazon. Capital One data breach has just hit. 106 million of us had our names, home addresses, and banking information exposed. Forget credit card theft. This is much, much bigger. You shouldn't forget it, but you do need to pay attention to home title lock. They're the only ones that can lock down your title and mortgage online. This is an epidemic, according to New York investigators, an epidemic. Only Home Title Lock can help you. They'll give you 60 days free protection. Just check it out now, HomeTitleLock.com.
The fusion of entertainment and enlightenment.
Welcome to it, America. It is Wednesday. It is Wednesday, isn't it? Thank you. God bless you. It's Wednesday. Socialist Bernie Sanders, one of the leading presidential candidates yesterday, tried to praise communist China, which is in and of itself an interesting thing to do. But he ended up praising capitalism. Capitalism, communism. Where are we headed? That and the Soviet Union's constitution. Tell me where we're headed. All that coming up in 1 minute.
This is the Glenn Beck Program.
Somewhere in America, within the sound of my voice, there is a man standing at a bench or a table. My father used to call it a bench. Kneading dough with work-rough hands. Every day for 20 years, he got up before the sun, dusting off the horizon. He drove across town, and he got there and started making bread and donuts before anybody else was awake. He's on his feet all day, working in an almost forgotten art just because it makes other people happy, and it makes him happy. It is truly an art to this man. That was my dad. And there are people just like this all over the country. But he stands in comfort as he sprinkles flour over the milestones of his frontier, because he stands in a pair of Tecovas boots. They were made for people like him, people of character, people with dreams, people on the edge of their frontier, just walking forward every day. Honest, hardworking people who appreciate comfort and luxury in the same product. And that product reminds them of who they are and where they're going. Tecovas boots are made from the most exotic leathers available, and they are handcrafted by world-class bootmakers. You know, it takes 200 steps to make a pair of Tecovas boots, and yet their boots cost about half of what a boot of similar quality would cost. Check out not only their selection of boots, but also the other fine leather and clothing products they make. It's great. Tecovas, T-E-C-O-V-A-S, Tecovas.com/Beck. That's Tecovas.com/Beck. Tecovas, Western wear for your frontier. Now you tell me what's wrong. Here's Bernie Sanders, audio of Bernie Sanders yesterday, trying to praise communist China.
But what we have to say about China, in fairness to China and its leadership, is if I'm not mistaken, they have made more progress in addressing extreme poverty than any country in the history of civilization.
Okay. Bernie, I think you... I do not think those words mean what you think it means. What he didn't talk about was that it is the free market principle that China's started to enact that they got from us. It wasn't communism. Never before in history have so many people escaped poverty in such a short time in the past decades in China. Okay. According to the official World Bank figures, the percentage of extremely poor people in China in 1981 was 88.3%. By 2015, only 0.7% of the Chinese population was living in extreme poverty. Now, wait a minute. Poor people in China fell from 878 million people to less than 10 million people since 1981. Now, what happened? What happened? Well, under Mao, the state had, you know, an omnipotent grip over China's economy. What happened over the last few decades can be summed up in a couple of sentences. China embraced the tenets of a free market economic system. It introduced private ownership, gradually reduced the influence of the once all-powerful state over the Chinese economy. Now, they are still communists and is still state-controlled, much of it. But you also have these independent companies, these companies that are not collapsing. These companies that are run by the state are collapsing, as we pointed out earlier this week. China had to print $50 trillion. $50 trillion. Half of that went right to these state-owned companies that are dying. The state still plays a major role, but it's free market capitalism. After the death of Mao and the death of communism. You know, let me give you this story, Bernie. Here's another story for you. Tell me if this sounds like communism or a celebration of capitalism. Quoting the story, it was no surprise that the crowds at China's first Costco location would be big. But the company wasn't prepared for this. The photos of the opening of the Shanghai location of Costco painted a clear picture of the reports coming out of China, which said that a deluge of shoppers clogged up parts of the store and built up traffic on roads right outside of Costco, resulting in a three-hour wait for a parking space. Shoppers crowded the meat department, which included the Costco rotisserie chicken in the food court. Elbows and arms were thrown in every direction as customers attempted to pick up various items. The sheer amount of people forced the store to shut down hours early. And a text message to members reportedly read, in part, "To provide you with better shopping experience, Costco will suspend business in the afternoon. Please don't come." Now, why were they there? Well, the deep discounts that a Costco membership gives you. This is something spectacular in China. The usual items offered to first-time customers at the Shanghai location had discounts also on other luxury items. The South China Morning Post reported that you could get Prada tote bags and MCM leather backpacks. There's also reportedly an Hermes super popular Birkin bag available. We don't know the prices of it. Even if you did manage to get a big ticket item or even something smaller on a smaller scale, such as food, checkout was a nightmare. If you managed to wait the three-hour wait to get a parking space, when you got the parking space, you were warned that it could take 2 hours just to check out. All in all, Costco managed to stay open until 1:40 p.m., 5 hours after it first opened. Now, it's a Costco. We have them everywhere. They're great, but are you waiting 5 hours to buy something at Costco? No, no. So is it communism, Bernie, that has everybody excited and is lifting people out of poverty? And if it's communism, how come it didn't work under Mao? What changed? Oh, these people are crazy. Truly, truly crazy. You know, there are times, there are a few days that I can recall in every broadcaster's life, there's a few days where you're like, wow, really? I mean, things happen that are so crazy, you can't believe you have to tell the American people about them. Let me give you one. This week, while listening to Barack Obama talk about the dangers of a rising ocean due to climate change, you're listening to maybe his clips, or you're lucky enough to be able to get online and listen to his speech. While he's giving that speech, it's announced that he bought a $14 million beachfront home on Martha's Vineyard. Now, I don't know if you have an awful lot of credibility if you are giving a speech about how all of our beaches are going to go away and there's flooding coming and all of the islands will be gone, and that day you're buying a $14 million beachfront home. That's one of those days that you're like, I can't believe I have to say this. I can't believe there are some people out there who are like, well, no, wait a minute. How about this one? A day in the life of a broadcaster where you have to say, hey, by the way, I'm just going to let you know that, yeah, Hillary Clinton kept a private email server with classified government documents in a closet in her bathroom for more than 5 years. She wipes all the hard drives while under investigation. And this week, it also looks like the FBI knew about this huge stack of really, really vital documents, and they didn't look through any of them. That's when you look back and you're like, wow. Bernie Sanders praising China, talking about how they're lifting people out of poverty while they are building concentration camps. Really, dude? Are you serious? Today is truly one of those days. This week, we've been focused on key economic issues. Hour two all week, we've been explaining what is happening, what is coming, using common language, trying not to talk over people's heads, trying to make everything understandable, because no one on TV will. Monday, we looked at the economic system, the situation in which we find ourselves, the long daisy chain of crazy progressive ideas that have been going on for 100 years. Who is wrecking the economy? Well, the answer was all of us. We looked at the trade war with China. We reviewed the fact that China has created more than $50 trillion in off-balance sheet currency, using more than half of that to buy up U.S. and Western nation equities. In other words, they've taken about $15 trillion and put it into our stock market. You want to talk about a death spiral? Yesterday, we took a deep dive in recessions. We told you how government intervention to prevent or reverse recessions creates distortions in the economy. Today, wow, we're going to take a look at a leading proposal for financial policies that is happening right now in Washington. And when you hear it, it's one of those days for a broadcaster where I can't believe I actually have to explain to the nation why just unlimited printing of money with nothing to back it up is a bad idea. Bernie Sanders, Elizabeth Warren, the Squad, Bob Francis O'Rourke, all of them are now saying we can do that. And they're calling it a modern monetary theory. It's not a theory. And I'll explain at the top of hour number two, the next hour on this broadcast. You don't want to miss it. But I want to go to a story where you are seeing them. This one from the Washington Post today, where you are seeing these candidates now say, we can print unlimited numbers of cash because we want to promise everybody certain things. And as I was reading this story in the Washington Post today, I thought, I've seen someplace else that guaranteed those other things. And I looked at one of the producers and I said, could you print the Soviet Constitution out for me? Because I think that's where it was. Wait until I read the Soviet Constitution to you or parts of it. Even if you've read it in the past, you won't believe how close the Democrats are to quoting the Soviet Constitution. That's how far we've come. That coming up in just a second. Stand by. First, let me tell you about LifeLock. Say a red guy with horns, you know, he's got horns on his head, and he shows up at your door, and he offers you a suitcase full of cash and a Corvette that he just parked in your driveway. I mean, it's one of the new ones. And he says it's free. Then he hands you a thick sheaf of paper, and on the front it says, terms and conditions do apply. All you have to do is check the box, I agree. Are you going to read that first, or are you just going to go, yeah, I agree? Well, that's every transaction we have online, and they've made it impossible for us to read. So you just click on I agree. You're making a deal with the devil. The information that you hold sacred, that you hold dear, the information that you have, you're signing all of it away. The good news is there's LifeLock. Now, LifeLock detects a wide range of identity threats. It keeps you informed if and when someone out there is trying to get a hold of or sell your information online. Now, nobody can prevent all identity theft, monitor all transactions at all businesses, but LifeLock can see the threats you might miss on your own. So join now and get an extra 10% off the first year by using promo code BECK. That's 1-800-LIFELOCK, or head to LifeLock.com and use the promo code BECK for an extra 10% off. It's LifeLock.com. We pause for 10 seconds. Station ID. All right. I want to talk to you. Let me start with Bernie Sanders again. Now, this is a story from the Washington Post. Washington Post, 2020 Democrats have embraced seemingly every big left-wing economic idea except this one. I'm going to explain. Bernie Sanders says every American should be concerned about the rising federal deficit. Do you think he means that? Because I don't. I don't think he means that at all. Elizabeth Warren has detailed how she would raise enough new tax revenue to pay for her proposals for universal child care and free college for everyone. Do you think she cares about the deficit? More than Bernie Sanders, but not enough to stop her from these crazy proposals. Long shot candidate Andrew Yang, who perhaps is best known for the memes around his candidacy, has called for a broad-based consumption tax to finance his signature issue of universal basic income. In a Democratic presidential primary, says the Washington Post, where candidates have championed many ideas once relegated to the far left of American politics, a federal jobs guarantee, forgiveness of student debt, reparations for the descendants of slaves, there is one left-wing economic position that no one has espoused, and that is the idea of modern monetary theory. Okay, that's not true, Washington Post. It argues that the U.S. government can never go bankrupt and therefore does not need to raise tax revenue to fund new spending initiatives. MMT supporters say it's a mistake to push for lower deficits because that risks contracting spending and as a result, slowing economic growth. So what they want to do is they want to make sure that you have you never have a recession. You never have a problem with anything like losing your job because the government will just keep things going. Now, I want to go through some of their proposals, and next hour I'm going to show you where they are quoting the modern monetary theory. So the Washington Post doesn't know its ass from its elbow on this, because I can find the quote in one Google search. Google hasn't trapped us out of that information yet. So they are proposing this, but I want to show you what they're proposing it for. And then I think we should compare it to the Soviet Union. Now, let me just give you a universal truth. Okay, it's not a theory, it's truth. We've talked about Kondratiev. I think that's how you pronounce his name. He was Stalin's economic advisor. And Stalin said, "Hey, which is better? Capitalism or communism?" Now, I know what to say to Stalin. "Oh, communism, sir." He thought Stalin was looking for an honest answer. So he goes back, he takes several months, and he comes up with what's called now the Kondratiev wave, which is there is a spring where green shoots, new ideas sprout up, and then they start to create this great economy, and then we get into summer where everybody thinks it can never end, and then fall comes, and everybody starts saying, "Wait, we got to bail everybody out." He said, but capitalism doesn't. The Soviet Union bails everybody out, and so they let the failures fester, and eventually it sucks everything down, where you just have to realize fall and winter are part of the cycle, which will lead to spring. All that stuff, hibernating or dying, actually helps the soil. By the way, he was shot in the head. All right, let me tell you about our sponsor this half hour. And if you're at home, you probably have blinds on your windows. And why do you have them? Well, you can have them, you know, to keep the heat in or keep the heat out, whichever. But really, privacy is the reason why we have, you know, curtains. We don't want to be on display like we're at some store. It's the same on the internet. We don't want to be watched. And if you don't, you're kind of a freaky dude. If you don't mind people watching everything you do online, you got a problem. The internet. Some companies and most companies track you and use that information to send you ads and invade our online experience. Did you know that Google had startup money from the CIA? Anyway, what you need is Norton Secure VPN. Norton Secure VPN. It's a virtual private network keeping prying eyes from looking into your Wi-Fi connections. Do it now. Check it out at norton.com/VPN.
Go to blazetv.com/Glenn. Use the promo code Glenn. Save $10 off your Blaze TV subscription. Go there now.
You know, one of the things in life that is absolutely worth its weight in gold is peace of mind. You spend a lot of your time away from your home. Between your job and everything else you do on a regular basis, you're actually home very little, especially during the week. Well, that's when robbers hit you. It's not at night, usually during the day when you're gone. SimpliSafe's home monitoring system is exactly what you need. It is state-of-the-art and best in the business with video verification technology, which makes response times 3.5 times faster. There's no contract or hidden fees. There's no fine print, and they can provide you with amazing around-the-clock home monitoring, both inside and out, for $15 a month. Imagine how much better you'd feel knowing that there was one less major thing in your life that you have to worry about all the time. SimpliSafe. It's the way to go. SimpliSafe has a huge deal going on now. It's SimpliSafeGlenn.com. If you go there, you'll get a free HD security camera when you order. That's a $100 value. Get your free HD security camera now at SimpliSafeGlenn.com. That's SimpliSafeBeck.com. SimpliSafe Beck.com.
Welcome to the program here. 888-727-BECK is the phone number.
Thank you.
Pat Gray has joined us here in studio, and we've had some questions that have been percolating here since the beginning of the program. You've been in the middle of a very serious monologue, and I didn't think it was necessarily the right time to ask them. But I
still in the middle of it.
I just feel like the audience is now, especially the audience on Blaze TV, blazetv.com, promo code.
The audience on Blaze TV, I know where you're going, and they are not confused.
So is it? But are you wearing two shirts with a hole in it, or is there a giant towel on your shoulder?
It is. It's two shirts and a towel, right?
Two shirts.
That's
and
what
a
it is.
Towel. Is it a?
No, I'm glad both of you own guns. I'm glad both of you own guns.
We do.
Oh, yeah. I'm glad.
What does that have to do with your shirt?
Right.
What the two shirts and a
this
towel?
This is a shooting shirt.
Oh, a shooting shirt.
Oh, you can't shoot guns in a normal shirt.
No, that's not possible. An extensive shooting shirt closet.
Yeah, that I choose from.
Yeah.
We put a whole new wing on the house just to store
my shooting shirts.
Yes. Yeah. And that's
You're such jerks.
I've got the riding pants in another wing, though.
Did you win a wrestling match with a bunch of construction cones? Is that what happened with this particular shirt?
No, I had an Oompa Loompa in a headlock.
I mean, I don't think I've ever...
It's great. It's a good look, though. It is.
I did think it translates well on TV.
Up, Pat.
No, it's good. I like it.
Well, I mean, you can see
me a million miles away.
I guess the point of the shooting shirt is that you're very visible, I would assume.
Very good.
Yeah.
Very good.
Right. Something that Dick Cheney's friends should possibly have been.
Are you going to be shooting during the show?
No, but I might be. I might be.
Fortunately, I think we're out of range.
I'm going to leave this show and go shooting. Yes.
For example, I really like pajamas, but I'm not wearing them on national television. Despite the fact that I might be sleeping later in the day, I decided to wear. I don't know. It's a weird decision-making process. I guess maybe I'm out of the norm.
I guess so.
All right. What were you saying about modern monetary theory, by the way? Going to get back into that?
Not much. Here's where I do want to go, you pigs. Here's what I do want to talk about. So if we've been looking at the candidates that are running for the Democratic position, have you noticed how far we've come to actual communism? They are now talking about, and openly and unashamedly, Bernie Sanders just this week came out with his global warming thing, which takes over industries, it just unlimited printing of cash, unlimited taxation, taking away private property. I mean, it's crazy. AOC and the New Green Deal, in that it talks about this is the transition from a free market system. So they're all talking about this. And I know that I was reading something from, I think, Elizabeth Warren this morning. And I thought, gosh, I've seen this someplace before. And so I printed it up, the Constitution of the Union of Soviet Socialist Republics. Now, just stop me if you recognize anything. The Union of Socialist Republics is a socialist state of workers and peasants, the Soviets of working people's deputies, which grew and attained strength as a result of the overthrowing of the landlords and the capitalist to achieve the dictatorship of the people. All power belongs to the working people of a town and a country, as represented by the Soviets of working people's deputies. The socialist system of economy and socialist ownership of means and instruments of production, firmly established as a result of the abolition of capitalist system in the economy. Blah, 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 blah. The Soviet property in the U.S. exists either in the form of state property, possession of the whole people, or in the form of cooperatives and collective farm property. Now, alongside the Soviet system of economy, which is the predominant form of the economy in the U.S., the law does permit small private companies of individual peasants and hand craftsmen based on their personal labor and precluding the exploitation of the labor of others. The rights of citizens to personal ownership of their incomes from their work, their savings, their dwellings, you know, the dwelling houses and the household economy, their household furniture, utensils, articles of personal use and convenience, as well as the right of inheritance of personal property is protected by law. Huh. Economic life of the USSR is determined and directed by the state National Economic Plan. Remember, they had a plan for everything with the aim of increasing public wealth. Pat, did their economic plan, their national economic plan, increase public wealth?
Well, in that everybody's wealth pretty much decreased equally. I think, right. Yes.
Did when at the end of the Soviet Union, had it steadily improved the material conditions of the working people? Because that's what was in the Constitution. That's what they had to do. It talks about all of the things that now belong to the people, and it pretty much covers absolutely everything. But then there's this part in the former Soviet Union Constitution, the fundamental rights and duties of citizens. Now, who can explain how people were treated in communist Russia? Either one of you. Are you still focused on the shirt?
How people were treated?
How were people treated? Oh. What was life like in the former Soviet Union?
They were oppressed. They were hungry.
I don't know about that.
Couldn't go anywhere.
That's they were told what jobs they had to take.
To move around. Told what kind of jobs they could have.
But they were free.
What sports they could get into. But yeah, they were, freedom. Oh, you kidding me?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right. So here's Article 118 of the Soviet Constitution. Citizens of the USSR have the right to work. It is a guaranteed right of employment and payment for their work in accordance with its quantity and quality.
That sounds familiar.
Sound familiar at all?
Mm-hmm.
You have a right to work.
Yep.
The citizen of the USSR has a right to rest and leisure. The citizens of the USSR have a right to maintenance in old age, also in the case of sickness or the loss of capacity. The USSR citizens have free medical service for all working people.
Oh, that's
and
great.
The provision of a wide network of health resorts for the use of the working people.
Again, familiar.
The citizens of the USSR have a right to education. This right is ensured by universal elementary education, by education, including higher education, being free of charge.
Wow.
Women in the USSR are accorded equal rights with men, the equality of rights of all citizens in the USSR. And that happened, don't you think?
Everybody
was equal.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Like you could be gay or whatever, and it's not it's still not a problem in Russia, is it?
No.
Now, in order to ensure citizens' freedom of conscience, the church in the USSR is separated from the state and the school from the church. So they have in their constitution a separation of church and state.
Just like us. Because that's right in our constitution, too. Yeah,
no, it's not there.
Directly in there.
No. Yeah. Freedom of religious worship and freedom of anti-religious propaganda is recognized for all citizens. Article 125. In conformity with the interests of the working people and in order to strengthen the Soviet system, the citizens of the USSR are guaranteed by law. 1, freedom of speech. Two, freedom of the press. 3, freedom of assembly. The freedom to hold mass meetings. The freedom to have a street procession or demonstration. The freedom for communications. Wow, this, I mean, that sounds familiar too, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Except,
did they have any of those things?
None of those things existed in the former Soviet Union, which is fascinating.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Huh. Because of Article 126 that says, you know, but if it's anything that goes against what the people want, and remember, it's the deputies that decide what the people want. If it goes against the people, what the people want, and also it goes against the state, then you're deemed a radical and you will be dealt with. Citizens of the USSR are guaranteed the sacredness of the person, the sacredness of the home, and privacy of correspondence is protected. It is the duty of every citizen to abide by the Constitution of the Union of Soviet Republics, to observe the law, to maintain labor discipline, to honestly perform public duties, and respect the socialist intercourse. It is also the duty of every citizen of the USSR to safeguard and strengthen public socialist property as sacred. It is the source of wealth and might of the country. Any persons committing offenses against the public or socialist property are enemies of the people.
Isn't it amazing what happens when the Constitution is a document of positive liberties rather than negative liberties?
What do you mean, Pat? I don't know what that means.
Well, what I mean by that is that our Constitution is a document of what the government can't do to you. Their Constitution was what it was. It was a document of what the government is going to do for you, with the exception of unless we don't like it.
Right. Or you're not the right person, right. Or you're in the wrong group or whatever.
Yeah.
Whatever it is. Plus, you wind up with the word intercourse in your Constitution, which is just weird. Right. Like that's a totally separate issue, but I think it's important.
Okay. I'm glad from the guy who brought us the shirt news that you're also bringing us the intercourse part.
You shouldn't put the word intercourse in your Constitution. No. You should just know better than that.
It's wrong.
Right?
It's wrong.
I mean, let's get him a thesaurus. I mean, obviously, it was the free market system that brought us the thesaurus. I find it incredible how far we've come and how fast we've come to reflecting to having people running for president who are reflecting the exact principles laid out in the Soviet Constitution.
Sometimes
which
word
are
for
180
word.
Degrees. Yeah, some of them word for word. 180 degrees in the opposite direction of America and a free market. All right, back in just a second. Despite what the movies say, we're probably not going to wind up living in an apocalyptic landscape dotted by roving zombies and warlords in Land Rovers. I mean, first of all, you can't bring that Land Rover into the United States. It's not fuel efficient, and the emission standards are totally different. And even zombie warlords will abide by that law. I don't think I'm going to have to trade stew for food. I mean, I can just change the one letter, S-T-U, to S-T-E-W, and I think we're all going to be fine. We're headed into National Preparedness Month, which, as the name suggests, is a time to make plans for disasters. You know, the real ones. You've done this, I've done this, by starting and building a food storage plan with My Patriot Supply. Now, they totally revolutionized the preparedness industry. They have industry-leading line of emergency food. It is not like MREs. This is really good food. They have water filtration products that you might need at some point. And this week, save $100 on a four-week emergency food package when you go to my special website called preparewithglenn.com. That's preparewithglenn.com. These four-week kits include breakfast, lunch, dinner, and they'll last up to 25 years in storage. They're shipped free discreetly to your door. Don't wait. Don't wait until everyone can see the writing on the wall, because then it's too late. Give yourself a peace of mind and save $100 at preparewithglenn.com. Preparewithglenn.com. Do it now.
This is the Glenn Beck Program.
That's right. Welcome to the program. Today's a big day if you're a candidate that wants to get into the debates. Looks like it's going to be only one night, not two, because they're cutting a lot of people out of it. What are the standards and who's qualifying, Stu?
You need 130,000 individual donors, and you need four qualifying polls that show you at 2% or higher. 10 candidates have qualified for that already. There's really only one who's on the fence as of today, which was Tom Steyer. Steyer had a
amazing.
Yeah. And the only reason he had, I mean, he's spending a fortune in early states because the early state polls count here. However, no one's releasing any early state polls. So he's qualified in all the early state polls that have been released, but not enough of them have been released for him to qualify. So there was two national polls that came out today. A couple interesting things. One, Steyer did not hit 2% in either one of them. Gabbard, who's been completely screwed here by the Democratic Party, and she has a legitimate argument as to, you know, they just decided to count the polls she didn't get to 2% in and not count the polls that she did get to 2% in. Looks like she's not going to make it either, barring a last minute flurry of polls. It has to be released today. The other interesting thing is, if you remember this Monmouth poll that came out earlier this week, showed a three-way tie, basically, with Warren, Sanders, and Biden. The two national
and
polls.
That's a credible poll.
Yeah, very good poll. However, it's one poll. And the two polls that came out today, both also credible polls, have Biden up by 13 and 18. So it does not seem like we're at a three-way tie right now.
You're listening to Glenn Beck.
First, they proposed universal free health care, including free unlimited abortions. Then free college. Then open borders. Then universal basic income. Then the Green New Deal. Free phones, free internet, free cars, free housing. Guaranteed jobs is what we're up to now. Collectively, over $70 trillion in brand new government spending over the last over the next 10 years. $70 trillion. Now, how are we going to pay for that? Well, don't worry. The magic money fairy has arrived. It's called Modern Monetary Theory. Part three in our series this week on what's the economy doing? What is Washington doing? What are we headed for? In 1 minute.
This is the Glenn Beck Program.
You know, I was thinking about my dad, and my dad had a bad childhood growing up, and somewhere in the sound of my voice, there's somebody just like that. And everybody in my family for like the past five generations has been a baker. I'm just fat. They baked, and my dad worked hard, and he didn't want to be like his dad. My grandpa was on my dad's side was a baker who made great breads, and that was his art. My dad was into cake decorating and pastries and all the things that now make me fat. But that was his dream. That was his frontier. My dad wanted to be the best that he could be. He didn't need to be the best in the world, just the best that he could be. And he took such pride in all of his baked goods. And he was on his feet all day long, working in this, I think, almost forgotten art now, where you had to do it by hand, and it came from within. My dad would come home, he'd have such a bad back from carrying those sacks of flour, and his feet always hurt. I wish you would have tried a pair of Tecovas boots. Because if you're on your feet all the time, like I work the studios, all the studio floors are concrete. And if you're on your feet all day on concrete, you know how much your feet hurt when you get home. don't have that problem. All you have to do is wear a pair of Tecovas. They're comfortable. They fit perfectly. They're for honest, hardworking people who appreciate comfort and luxury in the same product. Tecovas boots, they're made with the most exotic leathers available. They're handcrafted by world-class bootmakers. You know, it takes 200 steps to make a pair of Tecovas boots, and yet their boots cost about half of what a similar boot of quality would cost. So check out Tecovas. Try them out. Now, you're going to order them online. They make it really easy to measure and get the right fit, and you can return them. Customers always right with Tecovas. Find your pair now. Tecovas.com/Beck. That's TECOVAS.com. Tecovas.com/Beck. Tecovas, Western wear for your frontier. This week we've been talking about economics and what is happening in our country. On a Monday, we looked at our economic system and situation and examined the long daisy chain of just stupid policy decisions that go against logic dating over 100 years, both Republicans and Democrats. Then the next day, the trade war with China. China has created more than $50 trillion, just printed $50 trillion. So, you know, all the money in the world from every country, all the currency just piled up is $60 trillion. China just printed 50. We talked to you about the importance of America and how the rest of the world is truly depending on us. We looked at recessions yesterday. Today, I want to talk to you about how politicians are now saying we're going to pay for everything. Because they're proposing all kinds of stuff. Free universal health care. Got it. Free unlimited abortions. Got it. Free college. Got it. Guaranteed jobs for all. The new Green Deal. Free phones. Free internet. Free cars. Free housing. Everything. $70 trillion. In brand new government spending over the next 10 years. Brand new. So that's not counting all the spending we're doing on top. Now, how are we going to pay for it? Well, there's this new theory, and it's wonderful because it's very modern. And you know it's modern when it uses the word modern. The modern monetary theory. It's MMT. Here's what it says. Governments never need to worry about taxes. They never need to worry about budgets, and they never need to worry about deficits because governments can print as much money as it ever needs to spend to ensure full employment, zero budget shortfalls, unlimited spending capacity against any need, want, or desire. If the government says, you know what, we should have that, they can print the money. Now, does this sound logical to you in any way, shape, or form? You need to know about MMT because it represents the newest, brightest thinking among the liberal intellectual elites and academics. It was first proposed by an economic guru, Warren Mosler, in the mid-1990s. It is now fully embraced by the left, and you have some candidates talking about it on the campaign trail. But one of the leading guys who is an economist at Bard College said, quote, "It's not easy to move people overnight. It's very difficult to communicate these ideas in a way people can understand. But what's more important is that the conversation has profoundly shifted. We're now talking about big, bold policies that everyone used to say were pie in the sky." Does that sound like Elizabeth Warren? We're talking about something big and bold. And what they're talking about is abandoning everything the world has learned about economics and trying this new theory. Now, you know what's crazy about this new theory? Is why hasn't anyone ever thought of it before? I mean, it seems so simple. If the government wants to buy something, don't raise taxes, just print more money. Doesn't that seem great? This theory of finance is so new. As we speak, MMT is being modeled and taught at Harvard, Boston College, USC, and MIT. Traditional models of government financing place the power of the purse in the hands of the people, because the government has to tax. And it taxes to get its income, so it takes your income, and you have the control knob on government spending, because you can vote them out of office. You can say, no, we're not doing this. Now, I'd like to point out that we haven't been very good at regulating, which is probably why they're now saying we can spend anything. MMT reframes the way in which governments participate in economies. It completely divorces government budgets and spending from the private economy. So rather than taxing or borrowing from the population for its income, the government has an unlimited budget, and it can spend that unlimited budget in its own discretion by just printing new money anytime government leaders determine there's a new need for spending. And there you have it. MMT, completely new, a modern way for governments to have unlimited budget so we can have whatever we want and never pay for it. Oh, man, am I reminded of the Kipling poem, Gods of the Copybook Headings, and we had plenty of money, but nothing our money could buy. I find this astounding in its stupidity. So let's look at modern monetary theory, because it is riddled with logical fallacies and it completely fails even just a quick glance and examination. So let's start here. There's nothing modern about modern monetary theory. Using the word modern to describe it simply resurrects and masks the classic con: how to give a government spending power outside of the will of the people. It's done by generating accounting units. Now, this is really important. What is an accounting unit? An accounting unit is money, currency. You give that accounting unit value by legal declaration. It's worth something. That's fiat. And this is, it can only really be maintained by a monopoly through the use of force. There are literally dozens of historical examples of governments using their self-granted authority to print fiat currency to pay their bills. For example, I want you to know all of these have met with financial disaster, but here are a few of the most noteworthy. The very first paper fiat currency in the world was created by the Tang Dynasty in China. It was during the 17th century AD. Merchants were ordered under penalty of death that they had to accept this new modern currency in trade for goods and services. By 1354, the currency had reached a state of hyperinflation, such as Marco Polo was paid for a single suit of armor from a local lord with 18 chests filled with valueless paper Chinese currency. In the 18th century, France, the Duke of Orleans, and Scottish economist John Law founded the Banque de Générale, and they issued paper currency to pay off more than $3 billion in government debt after the death of Louis XIV. Within 5 years, inflation had reached 23% per month, and then 55% per month. Eventually, the hyperinflation had bankrupted the entire country, and it led to the French Revolution. But don't worry about that. Following World War I, Weimar Germany faced billions in war reparation payments while simultaneously trying to rebuild its own infrastructure. They didn't have the money. facing the same default versus inflate dilemma, they thought, you know what? We can issue fiat currency. Germany chose to just print paper currency to repay its debts. The result was 1,000,000% hyperinflation. The government was printing $5 trillion mark notes within 2 years. A dozen eggs in Germany cost 800 billion marks. The resulting economic crash and depression led to the success of the National Socialist Party, because once you have a crash, you have the opportunity to go to socialism, because socialism promises to pay for everything. And in that socialist party was a crazy man called Adolf Hitler. The other examples, just to state a few, the Confederate States of America, World War II France, Soviet Russia, Eva Perón's Argentina, Communist Vietnam, modern-day Greece, Zimbabwe, Venezuela. Do we need to go on? Literally every time the printing press has been used as a means for government to pay for expenses, the result has been hyperinflation and eventually a currency default and total financial collapse. There are zero, let me count them again, zero historic examples of governments using fiat currency for deficit financing where the fiat currency doesn't end up valued again at zero. More in just a second. You know, when the pioneers settled this country, they had to cross west uneven swaths of land, and they were doing it in a Conestoga wagon. And we have a Conestoga wagon. We have one sitting in our hallway in the studio, our main atrium, and it's from the 1800s. And I look at that every time and I think, your butt had to hurt so much. Can you imagine crossing the country in one of those things? Your back and your butt. We live in a world where you don't have to worry about any of that. I have a hard enough time with my own back. I'm not riding around in a bumpy prairie all day on a wood board. That's why Americans have invented the X chair, patented dynamic variable lumbar support. It's the greatest time in the history of mankind to be alive. I mean, let's not forget that. No matter what our problems are, still the greatest time to ever be a human. And especially here in America. It's patented dynamic variable lumbar support. The X-Chair has what you need for a comfortable work day. And thanks to X-Chair's 30-day no-questions-asked guarantee of satisfaction, you have zero risk. X-Chair, on sale now for $100 off. Just go to xchairbeck.com. That's X-Chair, B-E-C-K.com, xchairbeck.com. Or call them now at 844-4X-Chair, 1-844-4X-Chair. For X Chair. XChairBeck.com. We pause for 10 seconds. Station ID. All right. Now, literally every time the printing press has been used as a means for government to pay the expenses and they just print money, it always fails. So modern monetary theory has nothing to do with money. This is really important. It has everything to do with currency, nothing to do with money. This is one of the logical fallacies of MMT. It's the belief that governments can create money. They cannot. They can print currency. Now, AOC, Bernie, Elizabeth Warren, all of them, I think maybe it's time we let them in on a little secret that they don't teach on college campuses anymore. And I want you all to lean in real close. Okay? Squad, are you there? Governments cannot create money. Governments create currency. Currency, a medium of exchange for financial transactions. Currency is an accounting unit standing in for real money. A unit of currency just represents something that has real value. That's what currency is. Instead of walking around with a bar of gold or a bar of silver in your pocket, you have one thin piece of paper. It'd be hard if we dealt in bars of gold. But that paper represents something. What is that? Well, a belief that there is actually something of value backing it up. If governments could create real money, that would be quite a magic trick. Wait a minute, isn't that what the alchemists were trying to do? Create real money? Create gold out of nothing? If we could create real wealth, none of us would ever have to work again. The problem is that wealth creation is a process of invention, risk, application of resources to generate something that has a market value. Wealth creation is entirely due to the effort, invention, sacrifice of the people. Governments are not a component of wealth creation. They actually are a wealth destroyer. Now, MMT assumes that all you need for wealth or value to exist is currency. Isn't that great? Tell the people in Weimar Germany that. Tell the people in Venezuela. You got plenty of money. Look at that. You got a $1 trillion note in your pocket. Man. Now, if currency is made available, they believe, people will react to the currency by selling things, goods, services, land, and labor to the government. But it's only true if the currency that they're provided with is exchangeable for real money, something of real value. Currency only has value as long as people believe it can be exchanged for something of real value. The moment that changes, the moment the people are like, this isn't worth anything, currency instantaneously stops being a representative of money. So modern monetary theory is not a theory, because a theory is an unproven idea against which a process of experience or experiments can test that hypothesis to provide empirical data which prove or disprove the theory. Once the theory's been tested and it's reliably proven or disproven, well, then it's not a theory. It becomes a scientific or mathematical law. That fits this perfectly. Dozens of countries, hyperinflation. This isn't a modern monetary theory. It's an antiquated currency law. Life is so busy sometimes between family and your career. Who has time to, you know, really do all of the hard work and heavy lifting when you have to find a great real estate agent? How do you do it? Have you interviewed the real estate agents? What do you ask them? How do you know they're good? Not all real estate agents are cut from the same cloth, and I can tell you that because this company was built out of frustration between myself and my wife. We were so fed up with the process that we decided there's got to be a better way. And through, doing work with other things, I happen to find myself in a group of the 500 best real estate agents, according to the Wall Street Journal, in the country. And I started asking them, okay, what makes you better than the next guy? Well, I found out there are a few really simple things. So we put real estate agents to the test all around the country. We looked for those things. We've put together a list of somebody that can help you sell or buy your new home at realestateagentsitrust.com. The best in the country, realestateagentsitrust.com.
Christmas Stories with Glenn Beck. It's almost sold out in Salt Lake City, December 7th at Kingsbury Hall. Just print up some money and get your tickets today.
I want to talk to you today about what you're hearing from the candidates so you can truly understand. They are serious about adding $70 trillion of debt or spending to our bottom line over the next 10 years. $70 trillion. They are also serious about changing our country fundamentally, our Bill of Rights are the things that the government cannot do. They want the things that the government must do for everyone. Free housing, guaranteed jobs, guaranteed access to X, Y, and Z, free college, all of these things. Well, that costs money. So how are they going to pay for it? Well, the first thing they're going to do is get rid of this evil capitalist system, and then they're going to start taxing people. Okay, well, I just want you to know that's not going to be a smooth transition. You start moving away from the free market, which Elizabeth Warren, Bernie Sanders, they're all saying it. You start moving away from a free market, I mean, in significant ways. Under the guise of global warming, the entire world is going to go down. Now, it might reset because it's going to be so great when we just are taxing everybody and everybody's working as one. It's such a utopian idea. It's going to work this time. It will be different. But what do they do? Because you can't raise enough tax money to pay for the 70 million. Thus, the modern monetary theory. The theory is you governments don't have to raise taxes. They don't. All they have to do is print money. And it's really, really simple. You do that and everything is great. Why even go to the people for taxes? Man, why didn't we think of this? Why didn't we think of this before? So I've been going over it. Now, let me just give you one final nail in the coffin of MMT, or as I like to call it, antiquated currency law, because this is a law. It's not a theory. We've tried this. The world's tried this over and over again, beginning with the Chinese in ancient China. It doesn't work. It never works. But the final nail should be that it completely disconnects government spending from the will of the people. Nobody likes taxes, but taxes provide a check against a runaway government spending and what they're spending it on. If they don't have to come to you, do you think they're going to have a problem funding things that you don't want? Now, that's the last failure, the logical fallacy that MMT advocates. In their notion of things, runaway inflation can be mitigated because if inflation starts to get out of control, the government can reduce government currency spending and or raise taxes to remove currency from the circulation, thereby fighting inflation. It is not a surprise that it is academics who came up with this, because academics have absolutely no connection to the real world. Their idea is that if printing trillions of dollars in new currency to pay for health care, abortions, the Green New Deal, guaranteed jobs, guaranteed houses, free education results in inflation, well, the government will just stop paying for those social programs and raise taxes. In what kind of bizarro fantasy alternate universe world do these people live in? Ivory tower crackpots like this are the ones who gave us postmodernist ideas like gender fluidity and toxic masculinity syndrome. But in the real world, politicians do not stop paying for social programs. Why? Because they're human beings who want to stay in power. They definitely don't cut those services while raising taxes. That's the reason why there are no instances of MMT actually working in the real world. You don't have to live in a theoretical laboratory where human politicians are replaced by robots and voters completely understand why their health care gets cut off. It's also the reason why academics should never be involved in real-world policymaking. The founders of our nation, they knew this. They were lawyers, they were farmers, they were preachers, they were soldiers, they were inventors, they were merchants. They'd seen the hyperinflation in France in the 18th century, which is why fiat paper currency is strictly prohibited in the Constitution. Money, not currency, money was legally defined as being gold or silver. And this modern monetary theory, or, sorry, the antiquated currency law, is among the more obvious asinine and foolhardy ideas to be resurrected in a long, long time. The Germans called it emergency spending. In France, it was called royal checks. In the Confederate States, it was called independence notes. Today, it's called quantitative easing. Fortunately, we're living in a time where a wave of socialism is looking for ways to pay over $70 trillion in new social and environmental programs promised by politicians running against Trump in 2020. We're so fortunate because maybe, just maybe, we're going to be able to be the ones to prove MMT wrong again. It's a terrible idea, but one looking for politicians stupid and desperate enough to put it in place against a spending plan that requires unlimited funds. They're going to do it. Unless you're informed, you know what's coming, you know what, how really this system works, you know, as we explained on Tuesday, how much the world is relying on us, because this isn't working anywhere else but here, and it's barely working here. But the rest of these countries all over the world are invested in our stock market and in our treasury bonds. If we screw around with our economy and we fundamentally change things in our economy, I warn you, the world will be plunged into darkness. And may God save us from our own stupidity. Somewhere right now, maybe in your neighborhood, there's a burglar. He's a man of fine taste, this burglar. He wouldn't mind helping himself to your television or your laptop. Oh, that Xbox you bought for your kid at Christmas, before she decided what she really wanted was a PlayStation. Oh, that is perfect. All that sweet cash you have so cleverly hidden behind the portrait of your aunt on the wall. Yes, yes. That's going to be the first thing he finds. He knows as well as you do that most successful burglaries take about 15 minutes start to finish. And he'll take those odds. Unless, of course, he sees that you have a Simply Safe system in place and turned on. For $15 a month with no contract or hidden fees and no fine print, Simply Safe provides the round-the-clock monitoring with state-of-the-art equipment that should scare our burglar friend away for good. But if he decides to break in, other houses that will immediately dial police have police responding within 45 minutes. But because Simply Safe has video verification technology, when this alarm is tripped, they know it's not a false alarm, and they cut that time to 7 minutes. Simply Safe, huge deal going on right now. SimplySafeBeck.com. Get a free HD security camera when you order. That's $100 value. Get your free HD security camera now at SimplySafeBeck.com. That's S-I-M-P-L-I Safe Beck.com. SimplySafeBeck.com.
This is the Glenn Beck Program.
Stu, do you have any idea what Boris Johnson did yesterday? I don't follow I don't understand the parliamentary system at all. I think what happens is they have a queen. She says, oh, yes, you need to form a government. And then all these people get together in a room. They yell at each other for a while. Mm-hmm. The one that can either yell the loudest or stand the yelling the longest becomes prime minister. And he's like, who wants to yell on my side now?
Mm-hmm. It's as right? if you're reading directly from their constitution, as you described that. That's
okay.
Exactly
so that's,
how
that's,
it works.
You know, yeah, that's my basic American understanding of this. Yesterday he said that he is going to the Queen to ask her to disband Parliament for a while.
Yeah, I mean, this happens a lot in parliamentary systems, and I don't like the system as we've discussed before. I think America came up with a, like, we have our issues. but it seems like things
but
have been working out
pretty
well.
But the president just can't go, you know what? We're closing Congress down. I'm tired of listening to them whine.
Yeah. It's like the equivalent of a pop quiz. Like you walk in and they're like, pop election. And all of a sudden everyone has to go back to the polls and come up with a whole new government. So
right. But he's saying that he's not going for another election. He said there won't be another popular vote.
Which is amazing.
He just wants. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know. He just wants to shut down Parliament for a while. Because they're obstructing the people's will to get out of the EU.
And
he said they're just...
Yeah, and you see all these things sort of happen in our system as well when there's, you know, politicians will use these sort of weird, you know, little mechanisms to try to get a larger thing done. It seems like the larger thing Boris Johnson is trying to get done is there's this October 31st deadline for the hard Brexit. And he believes, I think correctly, that the government is going to try to do everything they can before that deadline to erase it. So he's using his parliamentary maneuvers to attempt to essentially put a gap in there where they can't do anything about it, giving Brexit.
It's totally constitutional for them.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
This is totally constitutional, and it has been done before.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so he's just trying to honor what the actual people of the country said they wanted to do legally. And everyone else that seems, you know, hell-bent on making sure, you know, they let the people know that they know better than them. And the government knows better, that they don't understand what they've done, and we're going to fix it for you. Give us more time to fix it for you. And Boris Johnson is just saying, look, you guys voted for this. This is what you wanted. This is what we all talked about. We all knew this was part of the possibility of this happening. And, you know, if we keep backing up, we're, you know, backing up and backing up and backing up, we're never going to get a better deal from the EU. So, you know, it may very well be a hard Brexit, but that is something that was known to be a risk when this vote occurred and will not be as horrific as everyone makes it out to be, as it never is.
Wow. Coming up, we have the story of the woman who was dumped for Ilhan Omar. Her husband left her for Ilhan Omar. It's an amazing story. If we have time, I've got to get to the Palestinian story. Yesterday, this came out, I think, like at 7:30 last night, and all kinds of alerts go off on my tablet, and I'm like, what's happening? Oh, it's just that the State Department has erased the Palestinian Authority and Palestinian territories from all of our official documents and I guess maps or whatever. I don't know, but they've just taken all of that stuff off. And that's kind of creating some concern with the people who are, you know, with the Palestinians. That they're like, wait, what just happened? State Department immediately issued, said, no, this is not a change in our position. Well, you're not recognizing the Palestinian Authority at all. You're not recognizing Palestinian territory. That seems like a change in position because everybody else has been doing that. And we're going to look into that and what that means. That, I mean, that's one ballsy move, one real ballsy move. And speculation is that they have... you know, we keep asking them to come to the table and do a two-state solution, and they never, ever do it. I mean, Israel offered them a few years ago absolutely everything that they say they were asking for and their own sovereignty. Okay, two-state solution. No, they don't want that. They want a one-state solution.
And they,
you know, in their charter, they talk about that this will only happen when we destroy Israel. Well, then, okay, then you're not dealing honestly, so we're going to call it what it is. And it's not your territory.
They want this talking point, too, right? They want this victim status. They want it to exist forever. I mean, it's a very disingenuous ask, and it always is. It's the same thing that happened when they said, you know what? What we need here is that we need Donald Trump to come out and denounce white nationalism. We need him to do that after the shootings in El Paso. Mm-hmm. And so the next day he's out there because he's denounced white nationalism several times. He comes out and does it again. And then it's like, well, first of all, too late, too little. And next, I mean, look at all the other stuff he hasn't done. How come he hasn't done anything on guns? How come he hasn't done anything on this? How come there was never a moment in which they cared if he actually came out and denounced white nationalism? That wasn't part of it. It was just, what is the next thing we can beg for him to do? If he does it, we'll just act like we never asked for it. It would just, we'll just act as if it was nothing. We'll just move on to our next complaint, move the goalpost a little bit further. And this is just a strategy that has been well defined by the Palestinian Authority over a very long period of time.
I also have a monologue on the opioid crisis and the Don Draper of the opioid crisis, the history of OxyContin. It's pretty phenomenal when you learn the history of it, which, by the way, came from Germany, where all good scientific things come from. Germany around the time of the Weimar Republic, so nothing weird was going on there, eugenics or anything else. And it is a life-saving drug. Others, it is scourge of the earth. And people who are truly suffering from pain that they just can't live with, they're the ones that are going to pay the price for this. We have that coming up if we have time. It's Sophie's choice today. Which story gets on the show? One of those three, for sure, when we come back.
You're listening to Glenn Beck.
It is the last hour, and we've got a great hour lined up for you. We're going to start with Ilhan Omar in just a second. I want to tell you about Relief Factor. Relief Factor really plays a role. When I'm here at the ranch, we're up at about 7,000 feet, and I have a problem with altitude. That's why it's hard for me to fly and everything else. It causes great pain for me. It has totally changed my life. You know how I'm feeling by the amount of time I spend at the ranch. There was like 2 years ago, I said to my wife, I think we're going to have to sell it. I don't know if I can go up into the mountains anymore. Relief Factor has changed my life. If you have pain that is debilitating, please just try it. You'll be out $20 if it doesn't work. But that is the best $20 you could possibly ever spend, because if it does work, your life comes back. ReliefFactor.com, 800-500-8384, 800-500-8384. It's ReliefFactor.com. Was sleeping with the harlot from Minnesota. Why, I just never seen anything like it. My husband was being paid lots of money. I don't know if it's for his performance, because he is rather robust in bed. But he professed his love for Ilhan Omar. That story and what's behind it in 1 minute.
Ilhan Omar.
All right. Been talking to you a lot about the American economy the last couple of days. Right now, things are still pretty good. Hopefully, they stay that way for a while. A recession is coming at some point, and possible catastrophic disaster is around the corner. But breathe deeply. For the moment, things are okay. Interest, mortgage interest, the rates are at an all-time low. If you are a homeowner, now is the time to consolidate your high interest debt into a mortgage at a much lower rate. you could save hundreds, maybe even $1,000 or more every single month. You really need to do the responsible things right now. And I'll tell you, the people that I trust, in fact, they're doing this with me. I'm in the middle of doing this with AmericanFinancing.net. I've trusted them for a very long time. They customize the loan for you. So they find the right one for you to meet what you're trying to do. They'll advise you. In fact, they turn people down, not because they don't qualify for a loan, but because they want to do something that's they think irresponsible and will lead them to trouble. And they'll say, you'll have a perfectly fine time getting that loan from someplace else. We don't do that for our customers. We try to make sure that it is really responsible people that they're serving. So they listen to you, they learn your goals, and they help. It's AmericanFinancing.net. AmericanFinancing.net. You owe it to yourself and the future to call them now. 10-minute phone call will answer a lot of your questions and get the ball rolling. 800-906-2440. 800-906-2440. It's AmericanFinancing.net.
American Financing Corporation, NMLS 182334, www.nmlsconsumeraccess.org.
So divorce papers have now been filed in Washington, D.C., and the wife and mom says her political consultant husband left her for Representative Ilhan Omar. She's a doctor. She says her cheating spouse, Tim Minette, told her in April, "I'm having an affair with a Somali-born U.S. representative. I'm not going to tell you who, but she's Somali-born. She's a U.S. representative. She's from Minnesota. And you probably can't figure it out. But I love her. I love her." So he told her, and then he ditched her. What'd you say, Stu?
I like the character that is. I've never heard the person speak, and I kind of like the way you've made him sound.
I'm sure that's how he sounds.
Why, though? There's no real reason. He sounds like the guy who's saying Ilhan Omar in the song, which I don't know if that's I don't know. It's coincidental.
I'm in love with Ilhan Omar.
Yeah, okay, I like it.
So she's a physician. She's 55. He's 38. That has nothing to do with it. That has nothing to do with it. 55. I always wanted. When I was a teenager, I said I want to be married to a 55-year-old woman. So it's a dream come true, but has nothing to do with that.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So they have a 13-year-old son together, and he works as a left-wing Democratic supporter. He works now for Omar. Oh, yeah, I'm working for it. He works for Omar, and he also coincidentally worked for Keith Ellison, which is... what a coincidence, you know? Seriously. So those are, socialists run in packs, and they pool the same resources. And if you're allegedly stealing money or allegedly doing something, on the side, I don't know what you're talking about. I just love her. You have to get creative, and you have to make connections. Without Chakrabarty, Sank from the,
Young Turks.
The Young Turks.
The genocidal people that killed 1.8 million innocent citizens.
The organization named after that. Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Got it.
Without Chakrabarty, Sank wouldn't have been able to co-found Justice Democrats. And without those two, AOC's boyfriend would have lost out on thousands. Wait a minute. Now... there are two socialists that I've been keeping my eye on. One of them is a squad member, Ilhan Omar, and the other one is the former congressman turned Minnesota Attorney General Keith Ellison. it's kind of creepy. The number of things they share, including, oh yeah, including Omar's new squeeze. Why, I just don't know why you keep referring. He is a squeeze, though, isn't he? They've both represented the same district. They both had tax problems. They both had campaign finance problems. I know, it's shocking that all these socialists are having tax problems and campaign finance violations because they hate that stuff. We've covered Omar's tax and campaign finance problems at length, but it's curious how her predecessor, Keith Ellison, was busted for exactly the same problems. Well, I mean, Keith Ellison didn't marry his brother. That we know of. Anyway, when Ellison was state representative, he was busted for having $25,000 in unpaid taxes. Omar got nailed for filing joint taxes with a man that wasn't her husband, her brother. Ellison just didn't pay any. Omar was caught using campaign funds for personal use, but several years earlier, the attorney general now of Minnesota, the same state now that Ilhan Omar ran in, sued Ellison twice for campaign finance violations. They each apparently have the same love in their life. They love cheating the IRS. They love bending campaign finance laws. And they're both in love with the same man, Tim Minette. Ilhan Omar. Last week, the Daily Mail released the video of Omar, actually a couple of weeks ago, exiting the restaurant in California with Tim Minette. And they were talking about how they were, you know, oh, they were snuggling and they were rubbing noses like Eskimos. Cultural appropriation. They were holding hands. They were acting like a couple. And it doesn't matter. I don't care about any of this. I don't care. If they want to, you know, they want to romp like little bunnies, let them. I don't care. What I do care is the smoke is covering what I think is the real fire, and it isn't the fire love. Minette has a work history that shows he's a current partner at a progressive strategies company called East Street Group. Now, what do they do? Well, I don't know. If you go and look up Progressive Strategies and East Street Group, you're going to come to a website that has a single page that tells you nothing. It doesn't even have a contact. There's no way. It doesn't have an email address or a phone number. Nothing. It just says accepting new clients by referral only. So in other words, you got to know a guy, because I know a guy. You know a guy? I know a guy. He can put you in touch with these guys, okay? So I don't think he's worried too much about advertising, you know, for new clients, because he has hit the mother lode with Ilhan Omar. Since Ilhan's already been dinged for campaign finance violations, we decided to check out the FEC records to find out if there was any unusual activity between Omar and Minette. Well, Omar's campaign has dished out over $250,000 over the past 12 months to her new alleged boyfriend. Right. I mean, you think I like chicks from Somalia? No, she's got cash. Uh-huh. Now, here's the weird thing. I mean, if that wasn't weird enough. He gets paid in multiple five-figure payments every single month. If you look at February of this last year, $12,000, they wrote a check to him on the 7th, $15,000 on the 19th, $24,000 on the 21st. And the payments include everything from absolutely not vague at all descriptions of consulting to travel expenses. $24,000, where are you going, the moon? Now, you know, maybe my internal clock is a little messed up, but isn't the 2018 election over? What could she possibly be getting from this guy? You don't want to know. What could she possibly be getting from this guy where she's writing $250,000 checks? How's that possible? Now, this year, Ilhan Omar raised about $1.4 million. That means, out of everything that she has raised, she's given him a quarter of everything. Usually, you know, you'll get a bonus or you'll get paid a percentage, but it's not 25%. I could see giving him, you know, that kind of money if, you know, he helped raise $10 million. But 1.4, the math doesn't end up, doesn't add up. And this kind of spending is unusual for congressmen, especially freshman congressmen. If you look at Dan Crenshaw, his FEC filings, he hasn't spent more than $1,600 for a single payment the entire year. There is one entry for fundraising consulting. He wrote a check for $130. $130. Omar spent a quarter of a million to one guy. I'm going to go out on a limb and say, something's weird. I mean, that's a lot of exotic oils, or I don't know. I'm just saying. Quarter of a million dollars. Now, before Minette met Omar, he was employed by Keith Ellison. This is the Democratic Congressional Campaign Committee labeling Minette as Ellison's main point of contact and his national finance director. Now, it's really weird that Minette, when you look at his resume, doesn't reference Ellison at all. You look at his LinkedIn page. Nope, no, Keith Ellison. No, I have no idea. Hmm? What? He was also, while he was the campaign finance director for Ellison, he was also the head of his own company, the Minette Group. And like Ilhan Omar, Ellison pays this guy a lot. Tim Minette was Ellison's third highest paid expenditure over the past 2 years, $174,000 in 2018. This seems like a racket. His FEC filings look identical to Ilhan Omar's $9,000 payments every month going all the way back to 2015. In 2014, Ellison paid Minette $92,000, and this was during the same period when Minette was working on Ellison's staff. So is there a racket going on here with fundraising consulting? Is this big business? And if it is a racket, what's going on? There's a lot of money that is changing hands. And this money, they've tried to hide. This money, they put in these Stu, those front, you know, the PACs. The money came from a PAC. So you give your money and you're like, I want to give Ilhan Omar money. And then you're like, I want to give her even more, but the law won't let me, so I'm going to give it to a PAC. That PAC, strangely, is the one that is paying his salary. He works directly for the congresswoman. How's that working? Something is wrong with Ilhan Omar. Something is wrong with Keith Ellison. And Tim Minette, I'm sorry. I mean, he might be okay in bed. I don't know. But that's not what's causing this love affair. There's something deeper. Oh, deeper. Deeper. Well, we will go there. Deeper into their love affair to find out what's going on. I want to tell you about a guy in our audience. His name is Bill. He's a farmer. He was a member of that hallowed staple of American industry for over 40 years. And he would go up in the morning, and he wouldn't come back until sundown. And it really made him happy. As he likes to tell people, he figured on farming that he was going to be out there with the soil until the day he died. But somewhere along the line, the pain began to set in. His knees, his wrists, mostly, some days, he just hurt all over. And the time came when he thought, I'm going to have to kiss my life goodbye. I love farming. I don't know why these guys do, but they do. They love it. Then Bill heard about Relief Factor, and he decided, I'm going to spend the $20 and see if it works. Because if not, I gotta get out of farming. After only a couple of weeks, Bill was back in the saddle, both literally and figuratively. It changes people's lives. It has mine. Relief Factor is a great way to reduce the inflammation that causes pain. It works for 70% of those people who try it. Relief Factor is not a drug. For $19.95, you can get a 3-week quick start. Now, that's not a lot to see just if you can improve the quality of your life, because if it works, you get your life back. If you want a drug-free, natural way to ease your pain, to get your life back, go to ReliefFactor.com. That's ReliefFactor.com. We pause for 10 seconds, station ID. Stu?
Why my husband was taken by a hussy.
And then your, what was the voice of the guy who?
I don't know. I'm not your trained little
buddy. No, I suppose you're not.
I don't perform when you throw me a peanut. I don't do it.
Well,
are
you interested in hearing the new update to the Biden gaffe montage, which continually expands at a rate even faster than you and I?
And that is saying something, because my waistline is expanding like crazy.
Do we have enough time for this, or do we make sure we just play a short clip here? Can we get a ruling from the with time? All right, let's do the Biden gaffe montage here. Here we go.
And the other thing we should do is we should challenge these students. We should challenge students in these schools to have advanced placement programs in these schools. We have this notion that somehow if you're poor, you cannot do it. Poor kids are just as bright and just as talented as white kids. Wealthy kids, black kids. I really mean it, but think how we think about it.
We choose unity over division. Mm-hmm. We choose science over fiction.
What else?
We choose truth over facts.
Oh, no.
And so, folks, if you're interested, join me. I could use the help, because must defeat this president to change the trajectory of this country.
When the kids from Parkland marched up to, and I met with them, and then they went off to up on the hill when I was vice president, and they went off the hill to go into those neighborhoods. All those congressmen were like, no, I'm not here. I'm not.
Just like in my generation, when I got out of school, that when Bobby Kennedy and Dr. King had been assassinated in the 70s, I got engaged. My long friend, and she's a friend, she's been my friend in and out of public life. You had over 40 kids shot in Kent State on a beautiful lawn.
Oh, that's a lot.
By the National Guard.
We should set up a system, which I propose, which I will for if I'm elected president,
okay,
that allows the folks at the folks at Health and the Health Department,
yep, okay,
in the United States, HHS.
Right. Huh?
That's the latest. The last. This is there. We're adding like two of these a day.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
All of those, by the way, are just from the last few weeks on the campaign trail.
Yeah. We made sure to not include, you know, the old school stuff that you know oh so well. It's getting to the point, though, where I think, you know, Biden is has always been sort of a fun gaffe machine. And some of these just are starting to get sad. Like they're making you feel a little weird.
I never said this
about.
With his gaffe machine, I just always thought he's just unhinged. It's starting when he's like, health department. He's sounding sad, confused, and it's kind of hard to watch. More in a minute. I mean, not that hard because it's funny, but.
This is the Glenn Beck Program.
We've all heard the phrase, the rising tide lifts all boats. Well, in the financial world, throughout history, even to this day, that rising tide is represented by gold. Gold is a great protection against inflation. It is a solid investment that you can sink your teeth into. Pardon the pun. I like to use the example of a suit to explain money as gold and currency as something made up. If you were to buy a nice suit in the 1880s, you might pay $20, where today you walk into a store and you got to dish out $1,000. But $1,000 worth of gold in 1888 is the same as $1,000 worth of gold today. So you could walk in with a $20 gold piece and you could buy a suit. You can walk in with a $20 gold piece today and buy a Giorgio Armani. It's on a bull run this year. Please batten down the hatches. Consider gold. Call them now. They're waiting for your call at 866-GOLDLINE. 866-GOLDLINE. Read their important risk information. 866-GOLDLINE.
And join Glenn this Christmas for a special one-night event in Salt Lake City, December 7th. Christmas Stories with Glenn Beck. Get your tickets at glennbeck.com.
Hey, welcome to it. We're glad you're here. We want to talk a little bit about the mystery of the space drone. I think we're going to have to move the State Department removing all mention of Palestinian Authority and Palestinian occupied lands probably for tomorrow, because I want to first start with what's happening in the polls. It's really interesting what's going on. Today's the last day to qualify to be able to be in the Democratic the next Democratic debate, and you have to have 130,000 individual donations, and you also have to have at least 2% in the polls. But they're picking and choosing which polls, which is kind of interesting. Did you know in advance, Stu? Were they told in advance which polls they had to be good in?
It does seem like, you know, they did give you a list of the polls. However, the list is bizarre, and the person who's making the biggest stink about this is Tulsi Gabbard, and she has a really good argument on this. Basically, the way that they have done this is 130,000 individual donors, so it has to be individual donors, and 13 candidates have hit that threshold. All the big ones, and then it's kind of the smaller ones, like Marianne Williamson has hit that, Tom Steyer, the billionaire who's spent a lot of money to get those donations, Tulsi Gabbard, you know, and people like Andrew Yang and Castro and Klobuchar and O'Rourke have all hit that. So they've hit that. You have to hit both, clear both hurdles, though. The other one is four polls at 2% or more in either national or early states, and they have to be among the approved list of the Democrats. So Gabbard has hit, as their campaign says, they have hit 2% in 26 different polls in this time period. However, only two of them have counted. So they, now 26 is a big number they're throwing out there. However, they have some of them are like internet polls, not like unscientific internet polls, but there's panel polls, and sometimes they wouldn't be included for good reasons. But there have been two polls that she got 2% in. One was the Boston Globe poll, which is the newspaper with the largest distribution in New Hampshire, one of the early states. And the Post and Courier, which is the largest distribution of a newspaper in South Carolina, another one of the early states. Both of those polls, for unknown reasons, are just not okay with the Democratic Party. She hit 2% in both of those polls and would qualify if it was not for this weird restriction. There's other.
I don't think that they, I'm not saying that they're changing them to, you know, get people out intentionally targeting people, because I don't know. But they don't want her.
They don't.
You know, the Democrats, they do not want her.
I think that's true. I don't think they did it intentionally. I think it's just, it is incompetence. They couldn't have known she was going to hit it in these polls. It's
correct.
Just an obvious problem in that she's polled well enough in all these other places. And, you know, like, for example, there are, YouGov is a polling outfit that does polls in conjunction with various different organizations. Mm-hmm. One of the YouGov polls is included and counts as a qualifying poll. However, YouGov does polls in conjunction with The Economist, a well-respected publication. There's no reason that the poll would be any lower quality. Well, those polls don't count, and Gabbard has hit 2% in two polls done by YouGov/Economist, but YouGov, the other YouGov poll that is included, she didn't get 2%, so it was not included. So it's really been, I mean, look, it's an imperfect process at some level. It's hard to do, but They have not done a good job, as you would expect, in managing
this. I will tell you
this.
Tulsi Gabbard is probably maybe one. I don't know how many of them I would actually trust, but she's at least one that I, you know, we could elect her. I wouldn't vote for her, but if she was elected, I would be like, okay, well, she doesn't hate the country and she's not crazy. Some of her policies are crazy, but you know, she loves the country. She was in the military. She doesn't believe everything about this country is bad. That's something that's rare in the Democratic Party.
It is very rare. And to this point, you know, as she's needed these polls to qualify for these debates, she's been on, you know, back serving the country again and not campaigning.
I know.
Which is pretty remarkable.
It actually made me really like her.
Yeah.
When she went back to serve for 2 weeks, she had to do a 2 week tour of duty. And I thought, I like that. She didn't try to get out of it. She, you know, I don't think that appeals to the Democrats.
No.
But it speaks volumes about her character, which I really like.
The two that are most popular among conservatives in the Democratic field are probably Gabbard and Yang.
Yang, too.
You know, they both have sort of different views, I would say, than the typical Democrat, though views that are way outside what I would be comfortable voting for or even coming close to it.
No, but I wouldn't. I would at least have some hope that we weren't going to be destroyed by some theory from 1930.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
You know, Yang is smart enough to be looking forward. And everybody else is just like, well, I don't know what's wrong with Stalin.
Right.
Another
part of this, Glenn, Tom Steyer, who is a billionaire, spent all this money trying to get the president impeached, built a giant email list, then decided to run for president. He spent millions of dollars in ads in early states, figuring he can affect the polls most in these smaller states, bigger bang for the buck. And he can get, as long as he gets over 2% in the polls, in these early state polls, he can qualify for the debate. The problem is they just haven't released enough of these early state polls. So he hit three polls very early, but has not been able to get this fourth poll. And unless a surprise one comes out before the end of the night, he's not going to get in. And part of this problem here is that if you're going to say polling is an issue, if you're going to make polling one of the qualifying aspects to get into the Democratic primary, there has to be polls in these early states. Like, Nevada is the third state that is going to be voting, and there has basically been no good polling that has come out of the state in months. And so if you're going to make polling one of the qualifiers, you either have to you know, get your own polls. You have to go out there and actually start your own poll and pay for it so that these polls come out. Or you have to include more of these polls. You have to say some more are qualifying. Because it really does wind up screwing these candidates at the bottom. The big takeaway, though, from all of this is that it looks like, unless something changes at the very last minute, that there will only be one debate. There will not be the two-night thing that we've seen so far. There will be one
debate.
It's
good for Democrats.
10 candidates. I don't know. I mean, I'm torn on that one. Again, I don't really care what's good for Democrats. But also, the other part of it is, I think a debate that was split between 11 candidates over two nights, you might actually get a little bit more out of. Like, you have a candidate. If you have
I guess you're right. I guess you're right on that.
Yeah, 10 you're right on that. Candidates is too many for one debate. Five on one night, six on another, you might actually get a little bit of substance out of these people instead of just constant, bumper stickers. But then again, I mean, you know, very few of them seem to have the ability to talk at any length on these topics. They do seem to be bumper sticker generators.
What's interesting is Tom's
Steyer?
What's his name? Sire. He's more detrimental than the Koch brothers were. He's just not known. He's as big, if not bigger, currently than Soros, isn't he? On Democratic
funding?
Yeah,
he probably is. I mean, again, the Koch brothers, I think, did a lot of really good things, too. And one of them just passed away.
No, I know that. But I mean, you know, the Koch brothers were the most evil
presented
of anybody.
Presented as evil, right, right. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And they were funding people on the left as well. They were not conservatives. They aren't conservatives.
No.
And yet they were booed when, you know, David died and people cheered for his death.
Mm.
And you don't even know the name Tom Steyer.
Yeah.
You know, most people don't even know. He is as big as Soros.
This is unfortunate for Tom because he really wants people to know his name now. He's running for president of the United States, so you need to have some recognition. Yeah. He dumped a lot of money. I mean, I would assume that no one in this audience put themselves through the torture of ever turning on MSNBC, but unfortunately it's part of our job. And if you go, you watch MSNBC for 10 minutes, you'd see at least one or two commercials from Tom Steyer saying it's time to impeach the president. The guy spent millions of dollars. He says he's going to spend $100 million of his own money in this campaign to try to win it. Mm-hmm. He has shown up at 3% and 4% in some of these polls. And because of all of his money, you have to take him seriously, though I don't know if there's really any.
He's over if he's not in this one, right?
No, this is one of the weird things, and you'll see this play out. I think this debate entry is probably the least important of all of them. And the reason for that is the third and fourth debate, the one that's coming up here in September, and then one, and I believe it's in October, they have the exact same qualification standards. So if you have 130,000 donations now, you've already cleared the next debate hurdle. And also, the polls that counted for this debate will also count for the next one. So if you are at 3, like Tom Steyer is, he only needs one more before the next deadline to get to 4. So likely there will be more people in the next debate, not less. So you'll have 10 in this one, most likely. You'll probably get to 12, 13, maybe even 14 for the next debate. And if you miss this one, but you're in the next one, I don't know how much that really hurts you. As long as you're in one of the two. If you're at that point like Seth Moulton, whose campaign we lost recently, Glenn, where you can't get into any of the debates, or Mike Gravel, whose campaign we also sadly, tragically lost.
We lost him before anybody knew who they were.
I know, that's the saddest part. You know, Mike Gravel, sure, his last day in government was the day Ronald Reagan was inaugurated, but why couldn't
he? Say it again.
His last day with a government job was the day Ronald Reagan was inaugurated. But yeah, sure, he should be running for president.
Was he 12 when he was?
No, he's just 89 now. So
89 years old, and he couldn't catch on. There's something.
It's ageism. Stunning, Glenn. I think it's ageism.
I do. I think these Democrats are such ageists.
I know. They only want someone in their high 70s. They will not go into the 80s. And that's at least unless Biden wins and then runs for re-election, then they'll be fine with the 80s. But as of right now, they have a strict line.
I don't think that this is, I mean this sincerely. Watching Joe Biden decay in public is sad. It's really, truly sad.
Yeah.
I just don't think he's, I mean, you know, they're already saying, Donald Trump, we need to have a psychological evaluation. Joe Biden.
Yeah.
Joe Biden, maybe not today, but he is decaying in front of our own eyes. And that's something that we probably should, you know, every year just say, hey, have you found yourself walking outside of the White House wondering who you were and why you're in this strange building?
Yeah, it's weird. I mean, you see him, he looks tired often. That's something you never get from Donald Trump. Remember, Trump is in his 70s, too. It's not like Trump is 45.
It's crazy.
But he never seems like he's tired in public. Biden, on the other hand, is, and he seems to be slipping, and his style is not conducive to the slipping. Like, if you picture Barack Obama at 78 years old, he's a slow, deliberate speaker. He does a lot of speeches, is on prompter all the time. That person, as you slip a little bit, you can kind of get away with it for longer. Joe Biden's kind of an off-the-cuff guy. He speaks rapidly. He's always been gaffe-prone, but this is more of like he's missing words and sentences. Mm-hmm. He's just can't remember things. I mean, it is sad, and I don't know if he's going to be able to pull it off. As soon as the Democrats say to themselves, no longer is he the most electable because we see him slipping.
He's out.
That's the problem. He'll fall off a cliff if the Democrats decide that.
Because I don't think they really like him.
No.
They'll tolerate him because he was an icon on the left for a while, but he's not the new left.
No.
And
they just think he can win.
The minute they think he can't win, he's done. Mm-hmm. He's done. All right, back in just a second. So what is as bad as having to constantly fluff your pillow throughout the night? Well, I can think of a few things. Being hung as a horse thief would be bad. Living next to a nuclear power plant and a plane flies into it, that would be bad. But other than that, really, not much, not much. It's the worst. Okay, being locked in a refrigerator in the Shining, hotel, that would also be freaky. But having to fluff your pillow and having a hot pillow all night is the worst, except for those things. You can get great discounts now on all MyPillow products if you go to MyPillow.com, click on new radio listener specials, and you're going to see some amazing offers on their pillows. They have the Giza sheets, which are really, really soft. Mattress toppers and so much more. For example, their body pillow right now is usually about $90, but if you use the promo code Beck, it's only $29.99. Remember, all MyPillow products come with a 60-day money-back guarantee and a 10-year warranty. And even better, if you pre-order a copy of Mike's new book, your entire order will ship for free. Just go to MyPillow.com and click on New Radio Listener Specials. You'll get deep, deep discounts on all MyPillow products, including the body pillow, for $29.99. So enter the promo code Beck or call 800-966-3117. 800-966-3117. Again, MyPillow.com. Use the promo code Beck. Right after this program, in about 10 minutes, I'm going to be taking phone calls. I'm up at the ranch this week, and I just want to talk to you. I want to hear from you on how are you feeling about Donald Trump? How are you feeling about the economy? What do you think about the next election? What are you and your friends experiencing right now? Where is the zeitgeist, if you will, of the country? Are you feeling the recovery? Are you feeling a recession in your own life? I'd like to hear from you. The number is 888-727-BECK, 888-727-BECK. Call us right now. I was taking phone calls here in, about 10 minutes from now, and I really want to hear from you. 888-727-BECK, all phones, next. Call us now.
This is the Glenn Beck Program.